Welcome back. No punts allowed. Cheers, Paige. Happy New Year. Happy early New Year. Cheers to you. Cheers to us. Cheers to college football.
Cheers. You guys, we had every intention of recording a podcast last week. We will explain why and random shit. I'm just happy that we're here and recording a podcast. Since the last time I saw you,
delightful.
I went to Penn State for the first round game. Christmas happened.
Yes.
All kinds of things. How many beers on Twitter was brought
exploded
up to me by three different people that I know that follow you on Twitter.
I feel like I just need to become a full-time how many beers person.
It was fantastic content. I love it, and I love the people love it.
Yeah, I had multiple family members tell me, like this should be your calling in life. It's like, well, how? Like, oh, yes. First off, yes. Like, but how?
How do we monetize this?
How do we monetize this? So, I actually have thought about that a little bit. Because it is amazing. How many beers is a lifestyle? Like, it's not just Christmas presents. I know we're random shitting, but that's fine.
Maybe we have like a how many beers for like situations, and we set up like a call line where we can play like phone calls and you assess how many beers a situation.
We can save some of this for random shit. Random shit will be loaded this week because I have what I'm going to do today. After this show, then you and I have a live show.
Yes, we do have a live
show. This is definitely not beer. It's just like, you know, liquid death, like looking beer. Like I've ever not been on camera after beers. Like,
so
come on.
We are a very respectable podcast, which means we have a sponsorship, which means our lovely friends at Municipal sponsor this podcast, and we'd love to give them a shout out.
Business. Yeah, I love Municipal. Business shirt for me today. This is, you know, when I say I'm going to my own version of war. Well, got my camo on. You'll know why in random shit. So you're going to want to hear why I have this on. You're going to love this. You and I haven't actually talked about what's happening to me later on.
No.
Municipal is going to be helping me every step of the way. So municipal.com. Holidays are over, but don't be like my birthday's coming up.
I feel like we're trapped in the weirdest time frame. I will say, like, to get into like the college football stuff of it all, this last 3 weeks has been the most bizarre because we are so not used to this college football playoff schedule. Starting with like the first round being pretty early in December, which we're not used to, but honestly being like a couple days before Christmas was wild.
Yes,
but it this is our new norm. It's hectic, and I feel like, you know, when people are like, oh, slam their laptop shut until whatever, I always get like FOMO because like we literally don't get to do that. I have been fortunate that I've been able to do it for like the last like maybe 5 days, but I've been on my phone talking to you, other writers, so we're never really off when football is on.
I said to you as we were getting ready, I always think this time of year is going to be something it's not.
Yeah.
Like, and I will say, amid all this stuff, life craziness, the playoff, the bowl games have
been
slapped. These have been
slapped.
And I don't know if anyone's paying attention.
Slapped. They are. The gambling is good.
Am I getting slapped?
I feel like slapped.
My kids are teaching me all sorts of lingo now. I was hanging around my younger nephews and nieces.
Lingo.
Like, yeah. It's like my algorithm is changing with my all these kids.
Oh, your formula.
Now, it's slapped, okay? I'm sticking with slapped.
They have. Now, let's start with first round games, though, because we have not recorded a pod since the first round games.
Those were like 2 years ago. Yes.
We actually, it's probably best that we did not record a podcast after the first round games, because you and I were talking and we were like, "This, I'm so sick of college football Twitter right now. I'm so pissed. I'm so annoyed. I'm logging off because I literally can't take people complaining about blowouts in the college football playoff first round games." Lost in all of that is the amazingness of home games at college campuses. I got to go to Penn State and experience a home game there. Freezing, by the way. So cold.
That's what we do.
I have never been so cold in my life. It was nuts. But also so cool to be there. I mean, despite the fact that the game wasn't that great. I mean, a whiteout at Penn State. Just, like, the fans played a factor in it. Like, it was so interesting. Like, early in the game, SMU's quarterback, I saw him put his hands on his helmet and they just got louder. They saw it. It saw it as an opportunity to be louder. It was incredible. I mean, the views from Notre Dame on that Friday night.
Oh, it's awesome.
I mean, just incredible. So those were the things that I wanted to make sure we focused on. Yeah. Not everyone being like, this team shouldn't have been in, that team shouldn't have been in.
Well,
all the conversation, which we can have. It's so fair to have. But the way that people were going about it was just really whiny and childish. And I was like, I'm so sick of this.
I love, though, that so we did it for three games. We did it certainly for SMU. We did it for Indiana, although the score of that game, like Indiana almost covered hilariously. Like I had friends that teased Indiana in point spreads and won, which was funny. And we did it for Clemson, although I thought that game was actually pretty good.
Yes, yeah, so
I thought Clemson had some juice. And then Tennessee gets the absolute shit kicked out of it. And all these fucking haters, like these little teams, like it just went away.
It was silence.
We can't react in a vacuum. Oh, I was on one too. I after that Tennessee game, because I wrote about it. And then I couldn't help myself and kind of turning the knife. Like all the Tennessee fans have taken over ISA. I was just throwing haymakers to everybody. College football Twitter like was looking for a reason to just hate everything about it.
Yeah.
And look, the games did largely suck. Okay.
Yeah, totally.
And the point spread said they were gonna suck.
They were going to, exactly. The other part of this that was so funny is like, oh, it's ruining it. Like we ruined it by adding more teams. The person who this hero, I don't know who they are on Twitter, and I wish I would have looked before the episode, was the person that screenshotted scores of semifinal games and national championship games over the last 10 years. Hilarious how many blowouts there have been.
Oh my
this
God.
This is not a new thing in college football. There's going to continue to be blowouts. It was just so funny to me that people were like, oh, this is ruined because we expanded it and added more teams. Like, no, these games were the same type of situation we were looking at, just four teams.
I went to a lot of those games. I remember being at Michigan State, Alabama, maybe the most boring football game I've ever been at. I remember Joe Burrow, like murder machine versus Oklahoma.
Georgia versus TCU in the
national
championship.
Georgia versus TCU. So there is some takeaways here, right? Shit happens, first off, is your first takeaway. You're going to create these games and you're going to have a lot of bad games.
Yeah.
We're talking about the bowl season. The bowl season has had some big spreads and had some amazing games.
Yes.
The playoff, not so much. I think that could change. I really hope it changes. But you've got some elite teams and you add home field, by the way, which we love. It's only going to make the gap that much larger.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to fix that to a degree. We'll talk about that hopefully a little bit, but, the environments are amazing. Getting playoff games on campus, amazing. A lot of wins. Yeah, you're going to have some blowouts. I'm so tired, though. Like, look at Oklahoma losing to Navy. And, like, we're campaigning for fucking Alabama.
Yeah.
We got the dog shit kicked out of them by this team. And I know, transfer portal, the Oklahoma team is not the same. I get it. I hear you. But just shut up. And Lake Kiffin complaining, like, You all are losers. You lost to Kentucky. You lost to Oklahoma. You lost to Syracuse.
Yeah.
Miami. Like, you had your chance. Enjoy. Sit back and watch the blowouts like the rest of us.
Yeah. It honestly, I made the joke of like, you know, no one can complain about your conference getting in to the college football playoff if you just get one team in and have a bye and you don't have to worry about the first round game blowout. So shout out the Big 12. But also speaking of the Big 12, like Colorado BYU, a game that we didn't get during the season that was a great game. Sorry, not to be a hater.
Well, one of the worst bets I've made all year. I bet Colorado.
Here's the thing about that, though, is like we've said that BYU was very, very good, and they were in the top four for quite some time during the season, had a really rough stretch at the end of their season, and it cost them being in the college football playoff. Do I think they could have been a better college football playoff team than SMU? Probably.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, it's, like, circumstantial in the sense that, like, you lose your games close to the end of the season and you were great and outstanding. But also in other situations, like, Iowa State, look at the Big 12. Shout out the Big 12. We're better than the ACC. I just wanted to say that.
That Colorado game, by the way, I have a Colorado bet, and they open up, and Dion's crying, which is actually touching. Like it was cool in the pregame interview. I'm not sure if you saw it, where he could barely talk because his kids are playing. And that moment, I'm like, I need to get out of this bat as quickly as possible. And I didn't. I'm like, I'm just going to sit on it and fucking BYU. If you want, if there's a team that should be pitching right now, it ain't Alabama. It ain't Miami.
To be fair,
BYU. Honestly,
I feel like I was very much like, I feel like South Carolina could have a say too, because if we're like going off eye test and like
how they're playing.
Like in leading into the college football playoff, it's the flip side of what you get with BYU, where like you played great all year and messed up at the end. Yeah. So that's why you miss it. Same with Miami. But a South Carolina team where like, okay, you like were proving in the moment that you were a good enough team, not like, oh, we had one big win early in the season, or oh, we beat the most top 25 teams because of bias on the helmet, Alabama. It just, to me, it was frustrating that that was a narrative. But I will say, like, I enjoyed the games. Like, even though they sucked, I enjoyed the games. I enjoyed watching the fact that they were on campuses. I mean, even at Texas. Like, and I will say the other thing about this. Sorry, one more thing, and then we can move to actual bowl games that were good in terms of content. The school year for most kids, like, they get to leave and have finals, and they get to go home for Christmas. There were a lot of kids that, like, stuck around. Like, we went out downtown for dinner the night before the game, and, like, the college bar at Penn State was, like, popping. There was a line around the corner to get in, and it was full of college students. So I'm like,
that's awesome.
You know, that's cool that they decided to stay, and because classes were over and everything. They moved graduation to be able to accommodate this game. So I will say that part was really, really cool to experience and see. But in terms of bowl games, where do we want to start? Which bowl game do you want to give? There's lots of places. What's your best bet that you won? Because I feel like you have one that involves you winning money.
Oh, I've had. Well, I got Old Takes exposed. I got hit with that Lincoln Riley. So I had a couple of things. I won my bets in the Vegas Bowl. I had Texas A&M team over. I had the over, okay? Which was crazy because at halftime, I forget what it was. It was like 10-7 or some score.
Yeah, so it was
stupid. That second
it
half.
It was tied, I think, at half.
Bananas second half. That was and it was a blast. All my buddies and I, we were on the over. We're like, what do we do? We lost. Should we bet the second half? Like, oh, no, let's just hope for a miracle. Now, during that game, though, I had a tweet. It will forever be a tweet. Lincoln Riley status, like, cooked. And
did you get like legit? No.
Oh yeah. No, he retweeted it. And then
first of all, why would you like, there's two people that we don't go for. Well, at least I don't.
He's still cooked.
You go for Lincoln. I leave Lincoln and I leave Ryan Day alone. Those are two people that I just leave alone.
They look terrible.
That could repeat your words so quickly.
Oh, they're,
I love
they're,
that
he's
USC
still
won that
cooked.
Game, by the way. Love that USC won that game.
Oh, so do I. And so do I. No, I had a lot of people shitting all over me, which is good.
That's hilarious.
Like, oh, yeah,
wow,
no,
I didn't
good.
Even see that.
I also then shit on Elko as well to try and soften the blow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not one to dramatically conclude something during football games. Like, I was all over Tennessee, so I was like, man, if they come back, I'm going to eat so much shit. In this one, I ate some shit. Good for Lincoln Riley. I thought that was an awesome game.
I thought that was an awesome game.
Let's see. Other games that stand out. Oh, the Hawaii Bowl. So, the Hawaii Bowl was unbelievable. We were gathered around the tree, getting ready for the next day. It's 1:30 in the morning. Open up a really nice bottle of wine and watch that game. My wife yelling at me like, why is this game still going on? We have a lot of work to do. I'm like, I can't. I had the over in that game, which I won because it went to overtime. The overs, Paige, this is the bowl season of the overs. I feel like you
will love this.
Were the original campaigner. I'm looking at these games, right? Syracuse, Washington State.
Yeah.
Right? Georgia Tech, Vandy, over. Arkansas, Texas Tech, over. USC, Texas A&M, over. Iowa State, Miami, hit in about 7 minutes. The overs have been
delightful.
Exceptional. East Carolina versus North Carolina State. That was a fantastic game. I should have had East Carolina money line. I had them plus seven. It's been awesome. And it's not just because we win money. These bowl games are really good. You've got a lot less opt-outs.
Yes.
I think you've got it's taken me some time to get used to the when these games are being played. Like Iowa plays in like an hour or something at the time.
Which, by the way, I need
this.
Them to win.
I've got a big bet on Iowa.
I have a parlay. I parlayed it with BYU. I did my underdogs.
Wait, you bet Iowa?
Money line, like, I legit bet Iowa. I know.
Not under?
Not the under.
I like Iowa.
Iowa money line.
I like Iowa. By the time people listen to this, Iowa will have done something catastrophically
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, it will be eating crow, but it is what it is. I will say one of the things that we did not get to do because we skipped last week was have you say the names of these bowls. And they continue to get better and better. I do want to shout out Snoop and his bowl. The Pop-Tart bowl, obviously, just one of the things I will say that's not easy to do that I feel like the Pop-Tart bowl has done really well is the first year of something where they have like the guy or the Pop-Tart going to the toaster, K-Dramatic becomes a viral thing. But the fact that people like came back to it and it became a really, really big deal again and was still just as dramatic and just as watched was very
sprinkles on the sidelines. You had the Pop-Tart wrapped goalposts. Like,
yeah,
I had to explain to my youngest when the Pop-Tart guy went into the toaster and he came out of Pop-Tart. He's like, "What just happened to that guy?" And yeah. I was like, "Oh, he's fine.
He's a sacrifice."
Yeah, they're eating him now.
Yeah,
but he was like, "What?" But where's the person? I'm like, I don't know. Probably smoking a cigarette behind this giant toaster. I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to all the Pop-Tarts. And the fact that they let the MVP of the game, the most outstanding player of the game, pick the Pop-Tart. Whoa. Are we okay?
Why will we? Pop-Tart
flavor. The Pop-Tart flavor.
Pop-Tart flavor. You had a little Bama.
Flavors.
Yeah.
Pop-Tart flavors. we're getting back to the college football mode and talking about it. This is good to get out before our live show.
I think it's a success because it was like the Cheez-It Bowl and some other bowls have done this successfully.
Mayo.
Where the Mayo Bowl, for sure. Where you brand up and you become synonymous with it. And it's fun. It's childish. It's playful. It's over the top. It's everything a bowl game should be.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
But it's cool. Good for them. Like, and it helps. Like, I'm telling you, like, bowl season, if you have been missing out, there is still time. Bowl season is on fire right now. And we still have good games left. I know we're like playoff. Alabama and Michigan are playing a bowl game by the time you're listening to this.
We have the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. Kinder's Texas Bowl. Shout out Kinder's.
Tomorrow or Tuesday, today, whenever you're listening to this, banger of a day of football. Dave Aranda banger. Versus old team. South Carolina, Illinois. I'm intrigued by.
The line on that is 10. That's wild.
I know. That thing has shot up a bit,
the
too.
The spreads have been significantly large during this bowl season. And it's easy money.
The dogs are barking, though.
Alabama's
a 13.5-point favorite over Michigan. And then I don't know what to do with that game. Ole Miss -17 versus Duke on Thursday.
Lane Kiffin better literally obliterate Duke or online will be unbearable. I will say, though, I find it hilarious that he tweeted and then like didn't tweet anything about the Tennessee game. And then our friend Chris Marler tweeted something and he responded to him. That was like his first tweet after everyone's like, where did he go? He like replied to Chris Marler, which is hilarious.
It is hilarious.
He was like, I was rooting for Tennessee. Just classic Lane Kiffin stuff. He can handle it. He knows what he's doing. I like Shane Beamer being the one to call things out. But there is a possibility of playoff change.
Yes.
So format change already. We literally the day after we got this first 12, it was like, hey, it might be 14 next year. And then today, I guess if you're listening to this, Monday, we got the report that they're going to fix the automatic or the buy situation, the automatic bid will still be the top five ranked, or top four. Oh boy, we're butchering this.
So
top five ranked conference champions, but the buy situation is what's going to change.
So
you're ranking would just be one through four, get a buy.
Exactly. Win your conference and you're in top five teams that do that. But look how different it would have been this year. I actually don't have it in front of me. Oregon would have gotten a buy. Texas would have gotten a buy. But it would have changed. Texas wouldn't have gotten Georgia. Maybe it wouldn't have been all that different. Your seeding would have been. Your biggest thing here is Boise State and Arizona State would have had to play, which they should have had to play. No offense. Great stories.
Nothing to
apologize for. This is the format we have.
Yeah.
But it's bad. And people are recognizing that it's bad. And so the real interesting thing here, this is like a hot fix, right? Like, can they fix it before next season? I think they will. I think it's pretty clear that this system needs some work.
Do you think they will still try and keep Notre Dame out of it and say, like, you have to be a conference champion?
No, I think that all the walls are going to come crashing down.
You do.
I think
it'll just be the top four ranked teams.
Well, the other part of this that's really interesting is we're moving toward an expanded playoff, which is going to yet another expansion.
Yeah.
And that's going to change everything. So I think the floodgates are kind of open. I would include Notre Dame. Should Notre Dame be penalized for not playing? Yes. I think we can adjust the criteria to say, like, hey, if you're not playing as a committee, we reserve the right to move you down.
Yeah.
And maybe they could actually follow their, like, guidelines.
Right.
But no, I think that's how you got to do it. Conference champions are in. Buys based off of rankings. Think about how much easier. Because beyond it being weird, think about how hard this was to digest. Think about the shows we did where you're having to explain this over and over. We're trying to connect these pieces.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that way.
I'm trying to think, like, money-wise, like, what do you do with 14 teams? You just add another first round game?
You would create more buys. You could do
okay, because again, the other part of that would be there's only, so the New Year's Six bowls have always been there. When it was four, there was a rotation of which games were semifinal games, but they were included in the playoff. The big thing with expansion was, again, what was going to happen with the New Year's Six bowls. Now all of them are playoff games, whether they be quarterfinals or semifinals. But now if you expand that,
yeah, it becomes more complicated.
Like, would you need to add?
Well,
do
you get rid of conference championships games? I mean, that's the other thing I've seen people talk about a lot over
and
the last
start
couple of
early.
Weeks. Yeah, I mean,
interesting. Where your conference championship is not like the game, it's just like what your,
well, think about all the tiebreaker bullshit.
Oh my
God. You could solve a lot of problems by just saying, we're going to get rid of conference championship games. We're going to finish it out. We'll name a conference
winner.
How do
you do that also when teams don't get to play other teams because conferences have expanded?
It's a mess. Like, it's a mess. Yeah.
You would literally just get lucky by, like, you get the good draw of your conference this season.
And you're going to have that. Indiana, of course. And
Ole Miss, but they didn't do it. Yeah, they didn't do anything with it.
Was supposed to do that. I mean, it actually makes what Georgia did that much more impressive. Georgia had, like, a really shit draw.
Yeah.
And they found a way then. Texas had a really good draw. Like, and you never know. Some years it's going to look differently. It'll look easy on paper. But, I do think, like, we're reacting to this in real time. So one of the cool things about the expanded playoff is we've got these four games coming up. We are going to break them down. We get to, like, reboot. Like, this is where it would start. Not even, because the next round would be where our games would start. So I love that. Like, we get to reboot this system, like, multiple times, and, like, it's a completely different look. And we're like, okay, holy shit, Ohio State and Oregon, which feels like a national championship game.
It is. Whoever wins that game will win a national championship. I'm very comfortable saying that. I'm very comfortable saying whoever wins that game wins national championship.
I've got some thoughts on that game. Can't wait to share them. But I think the change is needed. I really worry about expanding this thing too fast. I think that what they really need is to get it right and let it sit for 4 years. Like, I get the money
part. Let it sit for 10 years like we did the first time.
Well, and it's like, I am all for more football, but at some point, more isn't more, like when it comes to the playoff, and you really risk diluting this to a point of discomfort, I think.
Well, and there's just other stuff that goes on in college football that doesn't go on in, like, pro sports, where, like, you know, we've seen expanded playoff situations, where you've got national signing day, you've got roster management in a way that's just so different and so volatile.
Correct.
During this time, that needs some TLC, because it is wild out there. And the conversation of a college football commissioner has come up again. We've talked about it ad nauseum since there was sort of an expanded playoff, since NIL, all of that kind of stuff. And even conference realignment, we've said that there needs to be one. James Franklin is saying that Nick Saban should be the Alabama Jones should be the commissioner of college football, which, I mean, we have talked about ad nauseum on this podcast. We agree. I literally have a prayer candle of Nick Saban behind me.
I think you could do a lot worse than that in terms of picking a commissioner. I'm sure, you know, everyone pissed off at ESPN.
Another complaint situation.
Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, that's a concern. Like, that's the problem with Saban, is you almost need somebody to come in from some other entity who understands college football. It's really hard. Everybody has bias, right? No matter where they come from, that person came most likely from a university. But I think the commissioner, the sport is out of control. I love it very much. It does need a voice of reason. You could do a lot worse than Nick Saban.
You could. Let's preview some of these games.
By the way, real quick, you see Herb Street getting all the shit? Like, Herb Street has been eating shit.
Yeah.
For like a week.
Yeah. And Fowler. I mean, people have really called them out for their commentary on certain games.
Well,
in teams.
I thought the Indiana stuff was a little reckless. But I do think ESPN has to be careful with who they are and what they do, because you can't say these things and then acknowledge what your business relationships are with the playoff and with the SEC specifically. And it feels like it's starting to wear thin. I like Herb Street. I like Fowler. I think they're great at what they do. Herb Street just seems to dig in every once in a while and odd
hills. Odd hills.
Yeah, odd hills. It's a great way to put it. Like, you didn't need to do that. And then Tennessee getting, like, absolutely blitzed and, like, all these teams sucking. Oklahoma, you know what I mean? I don't know. I found it fascinating.
Well, I mean, even their commentary on Ryan Day in Ohio State, like, I literally sat here and was like, okay, yeah, it's really bad. That's embarrassing. This is bad. But also, like, what if they go on and win a national championship and this means nothing? You know what I mean? Like, this narrative around his job and if he's a good coach is just completely goes away.
And basically Sharp.
Which is like what we do with Harbaugh. It's like, why are we not looking at the history of it? Not saying that that's going to happen. I have bets that it does. But, we should preview some games. So let's start with the game that is being played today when you were listening to this podcast, Boise State and Penn State.
So let's get updated numbers. I'll make sure, because
the lines are all good.
These lines have stayed pretty true, I think, with the exception of like a few. But to me, it's really interesting. It's like great on, actually, it's up to 11.5. All right, I'm glad I checked. So Penn State, 11.5 point favorites total in this one, 53.5. So really this boils down to a couple of things. Can Ashton Jeanty run through Penn State? Can Penn State contain him and force Boise State into third and long, right?
Yeah.
To me, that's, I hate to boil it down to it, but I think it's as simple as that, right? How do you feel?
I completely agree. And I think watching Penn State against SMU, defensively looked really great. Again, offense is not like the reason they're winning their games, but not terrible. But I think in a situation where, yes, Boise State did play Oregon close, and I think a lot of people will look to that to make sure they're not, you know, that'll be their thing to say before they bet. But I do think Penn State sort of runs away with this and does not under, I don't think, out of all the teams where like the spreads are pretty large, I would say I think I'd be most comfortable in Penn State not underestimating their opponent in this game.
So to use a boxing analogy, like when you have a boxer, Tyson Fury, the big heavyweight, when he was not losing, would just lean on opponents for like five rounds, invest like that, just lean on them.
Yeah.
And that's what Penn State's going to do. Like Penn State doesn't have a Genty, but they've got two really good running backs. They have an insane tight end.
Yeah.
They've got a really good quarterback. They might have the best defensive player in college football, maybe the best overall player on the defensive side. Like they've got dudes, and I think they're just going to wear Boise down. That UNLV game, I went back and looked at that game. That game was so much closer than the score was.
Yeah.
UNLV just kept doing dumb shit. Right? Like they,
right.
Genty got his, and Genty's going to do great in this game. He's an exceptional player. But Boise is going to have to work for it. And I think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. One of the things that like we talk about often is when we get to a national championship and you see how big these guys are and the difference. Yeah. When we went to the national championship and it was Georgia versus TCU, you guys, I can't, like, I know people say like, oh, physicality. And there was like the conversation about like, can Oregon be physical in the Big Ten, all this stuff. The Big Ten is really physical. I think Oregon was fine. I'm going to tell you, looking at Penn State versus SMU on the field, physically, and I, like you said, Boise State is dudes, but I just don't think it's going to be enough. I also will say Penn State's offense needs to, like, go out and get some points early. Like, they need to dominate that first half, because if you let them hang around, that's when Boise State can be tough, because, again, you could have one blown situation where Genty scores like a 67-yard touchdown. I think he scored like over 50 yards touchdowns in like pretty much all of their games. That's probably like,
yeah, and his yards after contact are crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
So just like they really do need to make sure they're not leaning just on their defense in this. However, I think if the offense still sputters, I still think Penn State's defense is going to be able
Drew Aller quietly was all over the place against SMU. Did not play a great game. Turnovers for Penn State helped. I think conditions were a problem, like you mentioned. Cold.
Yeah.
He just did not look comfortable. So that won't be an issue here.
Yeah.
Won't be an issue. So I think you're going to see him really have his coming out party. So 11.5, that number has come up, right? So it was 11, might have been 10.5. So there's some Penn State steam, which makes sense. One of the things I was doing with my friends last night, we should do it at the end, is rank our picks in terms of confidence. You were starting to do that, where they all fit. We don't have to do it now. So, but we both like Penn State.
Yep.
And we like them like by the number.
Yes. I expect they will win big.
All right.
My stomach is growling.
What else is
let's
new?
Let's do New Year's Day. We'll
Texas?
Do other bowls that you have bets on, but let's do New Year's Day.
Yeah.
In like chronological order. So the Rose Bowl is at 2:00 Pacific, Ohio State, Oregon.
Yeah. You have Texas, Arizona State at noon, 10 a.m. your time. You have Oregon. Yes. You have Texas, Arizona State, the first
game.
The
website I'm looking at swapped them, so I didn't think it was before that. Okay, well, let's start with Texas, Arizona State then.
So,
Peach Bowl.
All right. I've thought a lot about this game.
Go ahead.
As someone that looks at lines literally all year and gambles largely for fun, but has done this a long time, how often have we talked about it? What you try to handicap is like logic, and you're not supposed to handicap things like momentum is a terrible word in gambling, and I don't buy that. Vibes, right? You don't handicap vibes.
Yeah.
It's hard not to handicap vibes in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because the vibes for Arizona State, I texted you this last night. I thought about picking them to win this game. Mm-hmm. I think that Dillingham is a fucking monster and he's not scared of anything. It will probably be his undoing in games. But I would be terrified to coach against him because he is really good at what he does and kind of a psycho. And he's got a great quarterback and he's got the perfect running back for his team. And they have an Arizona State team, by the way, that plays pretty good defense. The problem that I have, back to your point, size, different in athletes. Texas is, and I'm not saying Arizona State doesn't have NFL players, a little different.
Yeah. The
difference in a Texas and Arizona State is significant. The difference, I think, speaks to this point spread, which I'll give a pick on in a minute, because it's 12 and a half now. The total is 51, which that total feels a little low, honestly, if you ask me. So what are your initial thoughts on this game?
I think that Arizona State is creating problems for themselves by talking the way that they're talking.
Of course you do. You're an Arizona fan.
Well, no, but I mean, you've got their quarterback, Leavitt, being like, yeah, I'm going to prove I'm the better quarterback against Quinn Ewers. Oh,
I didn't hear that. I don't like
you've
that.
You've got Scatabu saying, no one can stop me. Like, Dillingham also, by the way, as an Arizona fan, hilarious that it's been in a constant mess up that people have used the Arizona logo instead of the Arizona State logo for some of the coverage of this.
Yes.
But yeah, I just Texas, I will say this. I think that maybe Arizona State covers because it is like Texas to play with their food. They have been like that all year. They have sort of played down to the level of the teams that they've played against. But I think all of this talk, and obviously Dillingham is a great coach. I think, you know, Sark, if he doesn't overthink it, can really do a great job here. I don't think this is where an upset's going to happen. I think, yes, we will eventually in college football get a Cinderella story. I don't think that this is going to be the year for that, and I don't think that Arizona State
more likely to pull an upset, Arizona State or Boise State?
Boise State.
I think it's Arizona State. But the line says Boise State.
Yeah.
The other thing about Texas, saw it against Texas A&M, saw it at times against Georgia, saw it against Clemson. This running game seems to be really kind of finding itself. I don't know what's up with Quinn Ewers, though. Like, that's the other factor in this. Like, he's been hurt. It's just the ball does not look right coming out of his hand.
Yeah.
It just does not.
They get Isaiah Bond back. I think the other part of that, though, is, like, if it is come, does it come down to arch time? And, like, if it is, I still think they can beat them. So.
Oh, yeah. No, they've got. God, they're deep. They got some really good defensive players.
I will say
players.
It's not as like concrete as like, oh, I think they can win a national championship with both of them. Like, I don't think Texas can win a national championship this year.
I think that Texas wins. I think Arizona State covers. You like Texas to win?
I would agree with that.
Okay. All right. Then let's go to Oregon, Ohio State. Kind of sucks that this game is being played now. Of course, they played earlier this year. It was decided by 1 point.
I don't think it sucks. They're playing at the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, for
you
a national championship.
Screw with the Rose Bowl. They've been such a pain in the ass throughout the playoff, like wanting to keep the sanctity of... No, I just...
How dare you.
I love the Rose Bowl. I'm a Big Ten guy. Podcast. And it's the best visuals that we have. I can't wait for this game.
I'm gonna pretend you didn't say that and focus on the game at hand, which, again, is the national championship.
Notre
Dame fans would like a word, but... I think it's a national championship.
So we picked Ohio State. Everyone who's been listening knows this, to win the Natty before the year. We looked good for a while. We looked bad for a while. We looked really bad for a while. And we looked great. And Ohio State is now favored in this game by 2.5 points, which is interesting. The total is 55.5. The first game, 32-31, would have gotten over. If Ohio State plays the way it did and trusts its playmakers the way it did, lets the quarterback throw, it will not lose
a game.
Yeah, like, it will not lose a game. The matchups to me on the Oregon side, on the other hand, I thought Oregon's wide receivers played great against Ohio State the first time. Ohio State's secondary is not good. Still question Ohio State's offensive line. Oregon can get after the quarterback a little bit. So yeah. I think if you're willing Ohio State, that's what you got to look out for Oregon's front.
Yeah. I also will say, I feel like Dylan Gabriel has not gotten enough credit for.
Agreed.
How, like, although the beginning of the season was not as dominant as maybe they would have, Oregon fans would have liked, I do think coming into this big games, poise situations, he has done a really wonderful job. So, and if I had to pick a quarterback to have poise in a situation, it's certainly not going to be Will Howard. But, you know, then again, you never know. He could surprise us. So I am picking Ohio State to win this game.
Yes.
I think it's going to be by a field goal. Like, I think it's going to be such a good game. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised by, I mean, if you're Ohio State, you have nothing to lose. Like, if you're Ryan Day and Chip Kelly, like, do what you did last time. Copy and paste, because that, you just have to use what you are given, the best players that you're given. This is your, like, recipe. Also, use what you know about Oregon. You've played them before. They always say it's really hard to beat a team twice. Like, just come on.
This will be one of the biggest bets I make all year is Ohio State.
Okay.
Tennessee, Ohio State was one of the first biggest bets I made all year. This will be the second. I really love this team. And I think Oregon's been awesome, but playing on a neutral field changes everything. I'm curious what the travel ultimately looks like. Nothing. We tend to overassess what this is, attendance and ratings, travel, but I am curious what it looks like here. So, okay. Last but not least, Georgia and Notre Dame. Georgia is a 1-point favorite in this game. The total is 45. Carson Beck is out, draft, getting ready for the draft.
Yep.
Had surgery on his elbow. College football moves fast, clearly. So they will be going to their backup, who we saw briefly against Texas, who looked pretty overwhelmed, as you would expect. He is not a traditional big 6'4" kid. He's 6'1". He can move a little bit. So this is the hardest game for me to handicap. Like, I'll be completely honest. Like, so I struggle with this.
I will say this. And I texted you this last night. This game comes down to, like, whose offense sucks less, because defensively both of these teams are very good. I will say, again, seeing in a playoff game, I know it was a home game, I think Notre Dame's defense is what they're heavily going to rely on, but it is going to come down to which offense doesn't shoot themselves in the foot and have turnovers.
Glad you brought it up, because Notre Dame was number 3 in turnover margin this year. Georgia was 55, right?
Okay.
So even with Carson Beck, when you think about their undoings in the Alabama game,
yep,
and others, it's doing dumb shit.
Yep.
You cannot do that against Notre Dame. They capitalize on that. I think it's a huge factor in a game like this. It is huge.
Yeah. It's certainly going to be, and I think people are also going to be like, oh, Carson Beck's out, their offense isn't going to be as good. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. They've had time to prep their backup and be ready for this game, and Kirby Smart's a very good coach, so he is good at playing into what's best for the player he has. We've seen that with, like, a Stetson Bennett. You know what I mean? Like, they use what they have and they make the most of it. So I will give that nod to Kirby, but I do think the way that Notre Dame's offense has been playing, that it is just going to be kind of an impossible feat to overcome. You can't replicate reps in games. And, like, Riley Leonard has them, though he doesn't make, you know, the best decisions all the time. He certainly has more reps than Gunnar Stockton. So, like, we're looking at a situation where it's a high-pressure game and you have to be – there's a very small margin for error because these defenses are so good. And I think the nod and the way I lean would be Notre Dame.
So do I. Big game Kirby is a problem, though. And I think if you're going to look at coaching-wise –
yeah.
You know, Marcus Freeman's a really good coach, but he's lost games horribly. He's not been in a moment like this, although he just had a pretty big one, I'll say, it was a home game.
Yeah.
This is a different situation. If this was any team but Georgia.
Georgia, right.
I'd feel so differently about it. But you're right. Georgia is like the team that like cuts off their own arm and gets to safety after falling, like getting stuck under a boulder, right? This is what Georgia does. Like, no, but that's what they do. They're great at like, oh, okay, yeah, we have to survive. And not only are we going to survive, we're going to do whatever it takes to win this thing. It's very Saban-like. I have to say, Saban has been dealt this kind of thing. Georgia knows how to do it. They beat Texas. Their quarterback hurt himself. They threw in this backup. It's so true. You're going to see a much different version of Stockton than you saw in that game.
Yeah.
He's going to be prepared. They got sports psychologists working with him. He's gotten first team reps. All of it is going to change. You're going to see a much better version of that. Georgia is a problem. I'm going to take Notre Dame, but I feel like I'm taking the cheese here. Like
I'm the least confident in this pick, even over my Ohio State pick.
So, okay. So with that in mind,
yes,
what is your most confident of the four?
Penn State versus Boise State.
To win or cover? Let's just do win. No, let's do cover. Because Ohio State would be my number one to cover.
I will take Penn State to cover.
I would go Ohio State, Penn State, Arizona State, and then Notre Dame.
Okay.
To cover. Like, those would be my confidence rankings for me.
I'm trying to think of who I feel more confident in. Covering made it hard because now you're making me look at the lines.
In terms of wins, it would be Penn State. Yeah, it gets tricky because I think Arizona State's going to be a problem. I worry I'm taking the cheese on that game too.
So I'm going to go Penn State, Texas, Ohio State, Notre Dame.
So you're leaking oil on Ohio State a little bit.
No.
Well, in terms of covering, they were third of your fourth.
Well, yeah, because the spreads on the other game are 13 points and.
I think Ohio State's going to roll, Paige. I think we're going to have our moment where the pod can celebrate in unison and not eat shit.
What do we think Ryan Day is like post game?
Oh my God. Well, but this is here's the thing about it. He's got like two more games then. I have to look at the updated bracket. I've been so consumed. Would Ohio State play the winner of whom? Do you know that offhand?
Yes. Hold on. I do know that because hold on. Let me look at the – actually, I can make
because
it
because I have not.
So – the winner of Ohio State, Oregon plays Texas, and it would be in Texas because it's the Cotton Bowl.
That'd be fun.
Right? Or is that one the one in New Orleans? I'm blanking on where these are now. No, that's AT&T Stadium.
Oh, that would be fun.
Texas. Okay. And then the Capital One Orange Bowl, which again, would be whoever wins Penn State, Boise State, and Notre Dame, Georgia. So it could be Notre Dame, Penn State versus if the picks that we made, it could be Notre Dame, Penn State versus Texas versus Ohio State or Oregon.
It's crazy.
Great games.
This could be fun. Any other bowl games you're really looking forward to before we do our next pod?
I mean, I am really curious about the Michigan-Alabama game.
Yeah,
me I'm too. Just curious how they like close out the year. Each of those teams, like, just a weird season. I feel like for both.
Yeah, I want to see South Carolina. Illinois is moderately interesting.
South Carolina wins by a billion. Love South Carolina.
Baylor LSU is interesting. I will say I left Dave Aranda, for dead earlier in the year, and they could win 9 games. Good for him. Amazing.
Praying for Lane Kiffin that he doesn't lose his bowl game or play in a close bowl game.
Yeah, that would be rough. And then the Bulls start to kind of flame out from there. But amazing couple days of football, by the way, before we wander our way into random shit. So where do you want to start?
Let's start with the reason why we didn't have a podcast last week.
It's a good place.
Christmas night, I was at my parents and spent the night at my parents' house and took an Uber home because we were drinking and came back the next day to get my car, and my back passenger side window was shattered. And the bottom of my dash was pulled out, and someone had attempted to steal my car. It looked like kind of a job, like hit job in our neighborhood. There were a bunch of windows smashed. By the way, nothing was taken in the car. I had new Uggs that I got for Christmas in the car. There was a laptop in the trunk. Nothing was taken. They were just trying to take my car. Luckily, my car has a kill switch, so they were not able to get it. But now I am without a vehicle because, again, had to have it towed, get repaired, all of those things. They have to check it to make sure the wiring's all right. But yeah, the day after Christmas, having your car broken into on Christmas night, not the most fun thing to experience. Also feels like very weird, especially because like it's not like my parents live in a bad neighborhood. Like this is a really nice neighborhood. And it looks like someone was just busting windows and trying to steal cars and knew there'd be lots of cars parked in this neighborhood because of the holidays and people being like staying at places overnight. So yeah, it happened in the early morning of Christmas. Evening that my car was attempted to be stolen. So that was my fun. So as much as I would have loved to record a podcast, I literally had to deal with that until 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the day after Christmas, and then I flew to see my friend in Arizona and meet her baby the next day. So I at 5 a.m. so I legitimately had no time for a podcast, and I texted you being like, hey, this is what's happening. And also mentally, like, that was just a weird— it's a very weird feeling to have your car broken into and know that like someone was in your car and trying to take it. It's a very violating feeling. So not fun. That was not a highlight. That is not a highlight. It's a low light of the Christmas holiday season. But that is why we did not have a podcast, because someone attempted to steal my car. So
pretty good reason.
The first time also, one of my cars has been stolen before.
Really?
It was in like a high speed chase in Arizona. Mm-hmm.
Did you get it back?
It was totaled. They were in a high speed chase and they ran it like into a chain link fence and totaled it.
Oh my god!
I was in college then, and my car was like at home. My dad had used it, and someone stole it from outside of his work. And yeah, so I don't know what it is about my cars, but I will say shout out Hyundai, who they were saying that like the body of my car, is a model that used to not have kill switches. And so I guess these people thought that this was a certain year, and mine was actually the first year that did have it. So that's why they weren't able to steal my car.
Shout out Hyundai.
Just being great. And then also just the lovely people at the insurance company who have like taken care of it. That's why you have insurance. But yeah, definitely a weird thing to have happen. And just like, okay, on Christmas night, great.
Yeah. What about, ho, 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 assholes.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was going to say slightly different, completely different, random shit. So we have in a half hour, we're going to get ready for our live show, which is why we're recording it now. And then I'm heading up to Lake Geneva, boat town, for New Year tonight and New Year's Eve. I will be watching the playoff game with 48 other people from my neighborhood, 48, many of which are young children. This is an indoor water park. God help us.
One, very brave of you all.
Oh.
Whose idea was it?
I think it may have been my wife's.
Okay.
She is the ultimate.
But she's also like a superhero in the sense of like she's so good at
kids. Yeah. Like none of this phases.
She's the neighborhood social chair. We love that. We should get her like a
sack in the banner. Is nothing phases her. So like logistically there are some questions. Now I'm driving there, I can hear fucking suitcases rolling up and down. We were going for 2 days, but we're gonna pack like two fucking cars, first of all. So I'm driving separate, which is actually kind of nice. I could use after
kids
a week of family.
Car?
What's that?
No kids in your car?
No kids. Just me. I may smoke a cigar. Like I do that like once a year, like the cigar in the car. Right? Like, it's a once-a-year thing. You cannot have your car smelling like cigars. So
that's a hard smell to get out.
No. So like once a year, it's like, okay, you treat yourself. When I was driving to the Big Ten Championship, that was what it would be. So 48 people at a water park in Wisconsin. There'll be content. If you follow me on Twitter, Kegs and Eggs, there'll be content. I don't know if it'll be good content, but there will be content. So in all of this, I'm going to watch. So then I'm driving home on the first early to kind of plug in for the playoff game. But I want to watch tomorrow night's like a must see. So I am loading up like iPads. I got all sorts of stuff ready to go. We're going to make this thing work, but it's not going to be pretty.
I mean, God bless you for doing that. I'm not at the kid phase yet, but I can imagine that is a lot of stuff and a lot of. How far is the drive?
Powered 10 minutes.
And okay, we got so married not bad. There. Anything over 2 hours, you're like,
no. This is a very nice, cozy drive. It's a familiar drive. This is good. Like that part I like is you go somewhere and you leave and you're like, okay, I could make it home quickly.
Yeah.
So. That will be what's in front of us here.
Yes.
And great college football.
Awesome college
super
football.
Super pumped. So any other?
No, we've got our live show to do for predicting some of these games.
Yep.
So we will do that live in the Bleacher Report app. I will say I did, when I went to Penn State, I did the VR live show and I was like a fan correspondent.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, doing a live show that requires just like us sitting here or like sitting by myself or doing whatever in a like very normal environment is one thing. Out with fans and having to, one, you can't hear anything. Like I had an IFB in and like being able to hear something is impossible when people realize that they're on live TV. They love it. They thought it was the greatest thing. But as the hits went on, because basically the Golics were hosting this show and they'd throw it out to me in the tailgating area. And as the show went on, the fans obviously got drunker and drunker. And so it was so funny. Like in the early stages, it was like, okay, are these fans you can trust, like not to, you know, go rogue and all of these things, which by the way, there was a collection of them that did go rogue and that was fine. It was crazy and it was absolute chaos. And it was really fun, but like, doing that versus doing what we do on a regular basis was so different. I loved being able to do it and loved the opportunity to do it, but it was crazy. I'm not going to lie to you. It was nuts.
I have a ton of respect for those who do this. Even grabbing coaches at halftime.
Yeah.
Emotional head coaches and shit. Like, it's crazy.
Just, like, the idea of, like, getting out what you're trying to say. Like, I was so cold. The first hit we did... We couldn't find our cameraman because there was no service out there. So we got our cameraman like 2 minutes before the show started. And basically I have like a monitor that shows me and I can kind of hear them. But like as they see themselves on the screen, they all start to cheer. So all I can hear is like maybe the like tiny part that Gold Jr. tossed me. And the words were not there at first. And I was like, all right, we got this.
That's hilarious.
But it's so funny because it's so different brain-wise. Like, even when we did the show in studio, I still had producers in my ear. And we eventually, like, sometimes our producers will get in our ear for live shows. But most of the time, they are not because we just kind of go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, having to listen to someone else hosting, hearing what they're saying, getting what you're saying, listening to your producer, all the things and like your field producer, it was a lot, but it was so cool and so fun. I hope we get to do more of it because seriously, it was awesome. And also shout out TNT and Max for hosting or for having
a fucking playoff game. It's amazing.
It's super awesome. I'm glad that I think you'll see a lot more college football stuff across the board for TNT sports entities, which is very exciting.
It is what a cool experience. And on a college campus. First college playoff
game.
So
cool. I've never been to Penn State. And that was a really, really cool environment to be in. I mean, you see the whiteout on. And I know like a night game probably would have been cooler. Actually, no, it wouldn't have. Because it would have been so much colder.
Fucking freezing. I was going to say.
I woke up and it was like, feels like 13. I was like, this is my worst nightmare. Dude. I literally took my hand out of my glove to put a hand warmer in. And by the time I like was getting the hand warmer in my glove, it was like there was no recovering this hand. Like I just couldn't get it back. Like I was like, I had the hand warmer in there now, but it wasn't even worth taking my glove out for the 5 seconds to get the hand warmer in.
I looked at the forecast for next week here. 3 days in a row, the low is -1. So that's what we'll be doing.
I'm going to be happy here in California. Then we go to Atlanta in a few weeks, which will be very exciting.
That will be exciting.
All right,
before
I think
then,
we're good.
We got to crown some bracket winning teams. What do you even call this?
Another set of bowl games, so it'll still be New Year's Six bowl games that we play in a week from 2 days from now.
All right. Well, we're going to go get ready for a live show.
Yes.
We will be potting, what, next week? What is today? Today's Monday? We will keep everyone posted.
We will let you guys know when we are going to do it.
What the fuck day it is? Whatever it is. Either way, we'll figure it out. For Paige, I am Adam. We will talk to you guys soon.